Hey everybody, welcome to We Are Libertarians, your favorite podcast of the week. Today with me...
Actually, mine's the Mike O'Meara Show. This one's
our favorite podcast ever. Make sure you write that all over our Facebook page.
If you can't tell, Creighton is back this week.
I'm back, baby! What's up?
What is that? Like, I haven't seen you in like 9 weeks.
I was sick for one, and then I was in D.C. for the other.
And then we didn't have one for a week. So it's been like almost a month since I've seen Creighton.
It's been a while.
I know. Did you miss me?
I was losing sleep.
Mm. Well, we didn't hear any complaints about anybody missing you, so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I just don't tell you because I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Did you guys reduce the episodes to 30 minutes while I was gone?
We cut out Creighton's rambling.
To his credit, Chris Galt actually contributed a lot to the show. What? I was really surprised the day that it was just me and him. I was like, I was terrified. I was like, oh, this is going to be rough. Then last week we had Evan McMahon on to talk about Chick-fil-A.
And he just talked.
And so was our longest running podcast, man. Oof. Yeah. Boy can talk.
What's wrong with Chick-fil-A? I like chicken.
Oh, let's not talk about Chick-fil-A again.
Really? Do you want to give a brief opinion on Chick-fil-A?
The only thing I've been looking at, I don't really care about people going because they're against gay people. I mean, you can be against gay people, you can be for gay people, that's your choice.
I'm both.
Yeah.
I'm for some gay people and against other gay people, like Evan.
But the only thing I looked at is...
Just a joke.
I'm okay with the... I mean, I really don't care if you win at all, but those who went because mayors of New York and Chicago were saying they were going to ban Chick-fil-A because the CEO of their company has an opinion. I'm down with protesting that because that's just flat out tyrannical and discrimination. And it's ironic. I read an article that said...
And what are they going to do? Are they going to kick every church, mosque, and synagogue out of the city?
I read an article. A guy made a good point and said one of the mayors, I don't remember which one it was, said... That we don't want to bring in discriminatory people, blah blah blah, whatever. Yet his solution was so he doesn't want to bring in discriminatory people, which is he means the CEO expressing an opinion, not actually discriminating, just expressing an opinion he has. But his solution is going to be to force people out of the city who have an opinion, which is discrimination. So, right. I don't know. But the way I look at it is if you're for gay people, against gay people, whatever, go eat chicken. I don't care. But those who went because they didn't like the idea of the state stepping in and telling you can't have a business because you believe X, then I think, noble.
There's actually Chick-fil-A's are independently owned and operated. There's, I think it might have been in Vermont. There's a gay couple that owns a Chick-fil-A. Our friend Chard Reed, he works at Chick-fil-A. He's running for Congress. He says there are a couple, you know, gay employees at his Chick-fil-A, and they never feel any kind of discrimination or anything. And
I think there's one in Maryland. I read that in Maryland, there's one of the Chick-fil-A's hosted a
gay pride parade.
Gay pride,
I mean, yeah. So I think it's just gotten way out of hand. It's been way overblown to the point where, you know, people are berating Chick-fil-A employees. You know, and it's just you just have to think. One guy said this, and it's not the opinion of an entire organization, and what that corporate entity does with their corporate dollars and their profit is not really doesn't have any bearing on your local employees and independent operators.
And
so.
One thing that just kind of messed me is, like, on the one hand, I can point to, you know, quote, the left for kind of starting this. Because a guy just said an opinion, and then all the quote left commentators jumped on it, saying that this is blah 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 terrible, you know. And it's not like it's new. They've been. I mean, we had on campus at IEPUI a discussion about this back before any of this was in the news. So it's kind of been underground as like an issue for a while. But it's just like it got jumped on,
right.
And I can say on the one hand, the left kind of picked this fight, and. If they're upset about it, it's really their own fault because they had to go out and say that a guy having an opinion is bad. But on the same hand, I mean, Mike Huckabee and all these people are doing – I get it that you don't agree with the homosexual agenda or the homosexual idea of marriage or anything. I got that. But at the same time, it's like, just don't be assholes.
And that really wasn't even, I mean, that was part of what Dan Cathy said, but it wasn't the entirety of what he said. I mean, this is just how everything works in America, in the media now especially, and that's why I love The Daily Show, because they spend 50% of their time making fun of the media and 50% of their time making fun of Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, the media just manufactures these outrages where one side gets into the defensive position and then the other side attacks, and then they go to it's so divisive and annoying.
Didn't the guy, I'm pretty sure the guy who, the Dan Cathy guy or whatever, pretty sure he said that who are we to define marriage better than God? So he's operating from a perspective of the definition of marriage in the Bible is like God wrote it down in the Bible, and that's his definition, which, I mean, that some people believe that. I prescribe the idea that the Bible is written by humans. But so if that's the where he's starting from and that's the way he's looking, I mean, it's really not technically, I don't know, discriminatory, I guess, because he's just saying, all right, Christian God said this is marriage. We're trying to say this is marriage. Who are we to say God's definition is not good enough?
I find it so offensive that a Christian would believe in their own holy book. What
well,
the hell?
I don't know. I think it's funny. The whole country's divided over this chicken sandwich.
I know.
But the answer's right in front of me. You know that?
What?
If KFC? Chicken sandwiches can be provided by the free market through voluntary contractions... without government intervention, then why can't marriage?
I saw that on your Facebook.
That's right.
And that's true, and that's one thing I'd be like, we always make this argument. What is the definition of marriage? The government needs to define it better. Like, why don't they just not define it at all and get their nose out of everybody else's business?
That's exactly right. I think that's the left and the right have been trying to drag libertarians onto a side. And the people on my Facebook page have been just assuming what my opinion is, that I'm totally with the left or I'm totally with the right, you know. Right. And it's just, you know, my opinion on marriage, and I think most libertarians share this opinion, is that the government, you know, and Chard Reed, let me tell you what Chard Reed says, our candidate for Congress, a Chick-fil-A employee, a devout Christian. He says, we believe as Christians that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman and God. So why would I, as a Christian, want the government involved in that? Okay? And I look at it the same way. I look at it and say, why are we inviting the government into an institution where it doesn't belong? You have contractual law for when it goes bad, and then you apply that law equally to every person that wants to join their lives together, whether they're gay, straight, brown, blue, black, yellow, maroon, I don't know. And you just apply the law equally, and then you leave religious ceremonies out of it. You take – why are Christians fighting for more government intrusion, and why are – you know, I don't get it. So I think that's kind of – do you guys disagree with me on any aspect of that?
No, I think it just – you know, it harkens back to the old value voter thing, is that if you're not for us, you're against us. If you don't believe – that the government should be involved in defining marriages between a man and a woman, then you must believe that marriage between a man and a man is okay. And you can be a Christian and disagree with that, which I don't really care, to tell you the truth. But you can be a Christian and disagree with the fact that man and man should, or woman and woman should be able to be married and not be for government coming in and putting their nose in it. I mean, right. It's really just a matter of, I mean, it's just a contract.
And if you are a Christian that believes in gay marriage, go to an Episcopal church. And if you don't, go to a Southern Baptist church. I mean, it's just, America is a diverse place. And we are trying to force the federal government to have a one-fits-all solution. And it's just never going to be that way. So let's stop pretending like there's one solution. That's just the madness of it all. So,
and how dare we drag chicken into this?
That's right. How dare you drag tasty, delicious chicken?
No, I will say, and this
wonderful waffle fries and delicious banana pudding milkshakes.
Before
Chick-fil-A, and those new
one more time.
But
and those delicious
we were looking at cookies. We were looking at our phones and stuff before this episode started, and I saw.
We really have no idea what we're going to talk about today.
But there was this one article I was looking up on Pulse. And it showed an African-American linebacker for the Detroit
Lions. No, don't talk about this.
That's so funny, though.
Please.
It was so funny.
Oh, okay.
Detroit Lions linebacker.
The opinion and news story expressed by Creighton is not the opinion of Chris, or the...
Or Creighton. It was just he's quoting a news story.
All right.
What?
I'm praying to Jesus that people don't find this offensive. Go ahead.
So the Detroit Lions linebacker, and it doesn't give his name. I'm sorry. You can look it up on the internet for yourself. But he's quoted as saying that he would eat Chick-fil-A even if they supported slavery. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Like I said, it was an African-American linebacker said it, so yeah. I guess it's okay.
Chris, what's in the news?
I want to so but it was so funny. I said before we started the show, I don't want to talk about Chick-fil-A.
All right,
I know,
right,
that's why I asked him about
Chick-fil-A. We're done, okay, whatever.
To talk about it.
Chick-fil-A's good. Lemonade
sucks. I think Creighton should talk about his trip to D.C.
yeah.
last week.
Where the hell have you been? Where in the world is Creighton Harrington?
That didn't work at all.
Almost.
Okay, so Young Americans for Liberty, the organization Chris Gault and Creighton Harrington are in that has no affiliation with the Libertarian Party or this podcast.
Correct. For that, he gives a disclaimer.
Yes.
But not for the last story. Yeah.
I gave a disclaimer. Whatever. Right. But anyway, every year, Young Americans for Liberty has a national convention, which brings in various chapter members and leadership members from around the state and or around the country to go to D.C. and basically sit around in a room, see cool speakers, but also learn a crap ton of stuff in a short amount of time.
Described every convention ever.
Yes.
A bunch of people get together in a room, learn a crap ton of stuff in a short amount of time.
That's exactly what it was. So,
the end.
So it was 4 days. The first day we had Rand Paul spoke, Ron Paul spoke. Ron Paul got the Ron Paul Legacy Award, of course, that sounds like duh right now.
But inauguration?
Yes, it's the inaugural award. So in the future, the award will go to people not named Ron Paul.
It's funny. In the LPIN, we do have an award called the Susan Bell Office Holder of the Year Award. And it was 5 years before she won her own award. but it's great that she'd been elected 3 times. So
that was the first day. The second day was we learned about general campus activism, which is kind of stuff that, I mean, it was a big convention, so a lot of people hadn't seen this stuff before, and I guess I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. The convention was 300-plus people that were brought in as part of chapters, which is huge compared to last year. I think we only had, 180 last year. So, I mean, we almost doubled from last year's convention. How many people showed up? And 300 people, though, oh, yeah, woo, crazy, I know. But they only pick 300 people because it's not like... It's not like CPAC or something.
Any student that is a libertarian that wants to come.
Yeah.
That's why they had 1,000 students.
Yeah, they just walk... Yeah. It's not like where you just walk around and do what you want.
So YAL is invite-only?
It was an invite-only,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Creighton's
part of the 1%.
Yes,
I know.
That was weird.
Sorry.
But,
welcome to my life, dude.
No. It was a jinx. Oh. Chris said, whatever. But anyway, so it was 300 people, but a ton of them were new, and I have pictures posted on our Facebook page of the event. They asked the question, how many people is this their first convention? And three quarters or more of the room's hands went up. So it was a big deal. It was a lot of new people, which is good. We had Ron Paul and Rand Paul spoke on the first day, and that was kind of like a get-to-know-everybody thing. We talked with the sponsors and stuff. Second day was campus activism. Third day was political activism. And then the fourth day was what we plan to do in this semester. So, I mean, it was general what you'd expect kind of stuff. But it was in D.C., and it's always cool to go to D.C. So we went to the first day I got there, I managed to get to the archives. So my advice for anyone who ever goes to Washington, D.C., if you can only see two things the entire time you're there, go to the archives and see the Declaration of Independence and go to the Thomas Jefferson Memorial.
It's funny that you say that because I've been to D.C. 3 times and I've never seen...
The National Archives
I've
is
never
just
been to
right,
the archives.
It's just right down the street from the Ford's Theater, which is also neat. You can see a pillow with Lincoln's blood on it.
Yes. Never seen
that. I mean, I've never been to Ford's Theater, but I always make it a point. If I go to D.C., I see the archives, I see Jefferson Memorial. I don't really give a crap about the other stuff.
I like...
You don't
want to
really, see Lincoln?
No, God, no.
Really, no. I love the Lincoln Memorial and that entire area.
I don't.
Going and looking at the FDR Memorial, which is just right by Lincoln, you know, it's
kind
you know,
of by Lincoln.
Start tyranny and end with FDR there. But yeah, I mean, that, I went in sixth grade on a trip to Washington, D.C., and it was like sunset on the Lincoln Memorial and like the sun setting, and it just was beautiful. It's a great place.
I really like I think it's the World War II one that's pretty new. It's last 10 years at least.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
At night, when it's all lit up and the fountains are going all over the place, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's really worth it to go see the mall.
I mean, yeah, if you have a whole day to kill, I mean, just start at the Capitol building and go down to the Lincoln Memorial. And
I mean, you can go and you can stand on the steps where Martin Luther King spoke. Then you can take two steps down and stand where Glenn Beck spoke.
And then you can stand
onto those two great
a few steps up and see where Forrest Gump spoke.
Yeah, so I think it's worth it. And if you have the time, contact your congressman, get a tour.
Yeah, if you contact your congressman, they'll let you go inside the Capitol building.
Yeah.
And see like the dome, and I will say that is pretty cool. But that's one of them ones you can't just like walk up and go because they have all the security crap.
We went to Mount Vernon, and Mount Vernon was awesome too, just to see Washington's house.
That's one thing I want to go to Monticello.
It's really cool.
I'm not too big on Mount Vernon. I don't really Washington's not my favorite founding father.
His place was awesome.
But I would definitely take the hour, 2 hour drive down to Monticello in Charlottesville, Virginia, to see Thomas Jefferson's house.
Yeah.
And see that too.
It's just
where he's buried.
DC.
That's where we were planning on going last year on our way back, and it was closed that day. I think it was a holiday, but I can't remember. But
you hit a deer instead.
But George Washington's house. But his house was open, so we went there.
We need to tell that story. You're on your way back from Washington D.C. They're on their way back from Washington D.C.
It was Chris and other. I didn't actually go on that one,
right?
But they were on their way back from Harvard.
A different trip because
they were on their back from Harvard. I think.
It was the night before the last election.
That was the Boston trip.
Yeah, the Boston trip that the IUPUI and the IUYL
rented borrowed a big van. Everybody was in the same van.
One of the friends' vans. They're driving back from Boston one night, and I'm sitting at BJ's Brew House at like 10:30 at night with Galt, just hanging out with him because he's got to stay up till 6 a.m. the next morning to put out yard signs.
Yep, it was Ed.
Yeah, for Ed Coleman. Stuff. And so we're sitting there, and Galt answers his phone, and this is how it sounded. Hello? Hey. Are you serious? You hit a deer? Are you okay? Is the van okay? Oh, no. Now we're not going to be able to bring Jack Hunter here. What? God, I hate you guys. I don't know. You're going to bring Jack Hunter, the Southern Avenger, and then you had to take that $600 you had for Jack Hunter and pay for the van to get for the deductible.
Yeah.
It was. I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden you hear, are you serious? You hit a deer? And I go,
pah! Yeah. Because they were stuck in Ohio for at least 2 days.
Yeah, the entire time we're sitting there, and before he gets the phone call, Galt's like, man, I hope they didn't spend all the money from the treasury on this trip.
Yeah, because really we just started saving money for some events and then had to spend it all on a van.
It was just the best ever.
Anyway, so, you want to continue your story about DC?
I mean, that was it was pretty cool.
Worth the trip.
It was at the Catholic University, which is pretty cool. If you've ever been there, it's got a pretty big, it looks like a Assassin's Creed
there.
Tower. It does. Actually
pretty cool is the National Cathedral.
I've been there. That's pretty
not,
cool. Yeah,
not just
cool.
The cathedral itself, but the drive up to the cathedral, seeing the vice president's house, seeing all the UN embassies and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
The National Cathedral is a trip that's worth it, too, just to see it. It's pretty.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to make it to the Jefferson Memorial until the night before my flight, so so I had to leave it. My flight left at 9:15. I didn't get home until like 3 in the morning because I had to go to see TJ, and but that's always pretty cool. And you know, if you ever watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, when he walks in and sees Lincoln and that look on his face, and you can tell that he's just like, it's like this,
right?
You know, that every time I walk in the Jefferson Memorial, that's how I feel. I walk up and I just sit there and I'm like,
you read all the quotes.
Yeah, I don't need to read them.
Well, you have them memorized, but you know you do. I was in there with you last time, and he was like, I'll read that quote without looking.
I did not say that. I just
right,
did
but
it.
You did it.
I just did it. When we went, they were adding the quotes because it was under construction, so it was sort of like we went.
What do you mean it was under construction? They built it back in the 40s.
Yeah, but when
I knew he was old.
Shut up. They were renovating it.
It was commissioned by FDR.
They were renovating
old guy in
it.
Disguise.
Oops, sorry.
So
you can't say that.
I had to go and edit that out.
All right.
No, they were renovating it and they were cleaning him up. They were like brushing his hair or something. I don't know what they were doing, but we went over there and we saw it and it was like, oh, this is great. Like, here's the memorial. It's all crumbling, and then like they have Thomas Jefferson up to his neck in like wooden crates. Like, because they're inside cleaning them or whatever, it was like, meh.
Yeah, but it looks cool now. That's which there are pictures of on the IUPUI Y'all Facebook page.
Cool.
So, news. Talking about news. Let's move on.
What's in the news?
Why are you hurrying
Chick-fil-A,
us?
Chick-fil-A's in the news.
Yeah.
No, we're not talking Chick-fil-A.
Save Chick-fil-A again! One more time! I dare you!
We had a victory for liberty last week.
Oh, that's right.
The audit the Fed bill passed the House.
I wasn't talking about that, but that
vote,
was... That
was 327 to 98.
Yes, it did.
That is veto-proof.
And it's funny because of course, everyone's talking about how Reid's going to kill it in the Senate. But in 1995, he tried to pass the exact same kind of legislation.
Every single year, I come before this House, this Senate, to pass a bill on auditing the Fed, and no one ever takes it up. Okay, well, fast forward, and now you're the one blocking it.
Yeah.
I also have...
That was a great
there were some victories for liberty, I guess. Ted Cruz won his primary out in... Texas.
That was another victory.
Yeah, whatever. Mr. Libertarian Party over here.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz won
his victory.
It was pretty good. He started out as the underdog and
being the largest Senate race in the history of the world.
Served Chick-fil-A at his award banquet, by the way.
It was like, I think they spent, 36 or 63 million?
I have no idea.
It was, whatever it was a record
but,
on money spent.
And then also, and this is kind of funny, in Georgia... There's a guy named Carter Kessler.
Uh-huh.
He was at the 2010 and 2011 Young Americans for Liberty National Convention as an attendee. He won his primary race for State House in Georgia.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Brett Bittner, former Rupert for Governor employee and current executive director of the Georgia Party, won his election to the Marietta School Board. So go, Brett Bittner.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I just saved a bunch of money by switching.
All right,
cars.
So any more comments about audit the Fed? Do you think it won't?
I think
it'll get brought up at all? In
I don't know. I think if Rand Paul and Mike Lee and them had the cojones, I think they could force a vote if they wanted to. I think there is enough support in the Senate if people get their act together and Campaign for Liberty does its thing. I think there is enough support in the Senate to be able to force a vote.
Well, I know. I think it was yesterday.
And then Goldman Sachs will make campaign contributions, and it'll all go away.
Okay.
That's right.
I think it was yesterday they had a phone bomb to call Harry Reid and tell him to bring it up.
I called his office when it first happened. Yeah. I called his office and it was past hour, so it was voicemail.
Right. Well,
but I called his office and left a voicemail. My Nate O'Connor from IU called him like 5 minutes later and his voicemail was full.
Oh, no. Well.
That's a funny joke.
That is funny.
Thanks for that, Galt.
Dude, we're doing awful today.
I know. This is like, I'm sorry.
You guys aren't helping me out at all here.
I know. I thought Galt was going to follow up the brilliant point, and instead he went.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, so let's move on. I want to talk about polling, specifically presidential polling.
Okay.
It's bullcrap. It doesn't
one
matter.
Of the, well, we'll get there. One of the requirements to be in the debates, which is one of probably Gary Johnson's main goal of his campaign, is to get into the debates. The threshold is the rule is you have to get 15% in a nationwide poll. Okay? Now that seems simple enough, but how do you get 15% in a nationwide poll if your name's not included in the poll?
Right.
For example, Gallup ran a poll. Very recently, I won't say when, I don't remember. But the question was, suppose the presidential election were held today, if Barack Obama was the Democratic Party's candidate and Mitt Romney were the Republican Party's candidate, who would you vote for, Barack Obama, the Democrat, or Mitt Romney, the Republican? Okay.
Where did this poll come from?
This was Gallup.
Okay.
The results are irrelevant. Gary Johnson wasn't included, so how can he get 15%, right? Mm-hmm. So the Libertarian Action Super PAC took this idea, and they said, and they ran their own nationwide poll, and the question they proposed was, suppose the presidential election were held today. If Barack Obama was the Democratic Party's candidate and Gary Johnson was the Libertarian Party's candidate, who would you vote for, Barack Obama the Democrat or Gary Johnson the Libertarian? And Gary Johnson got 19%. Therefore, Gary Johnson has received over 15% in a nationwide poll. Now, the critics will say, but you didn't include Mitt Romney, so it's not really, it's not real, it's
fake.
It's not, I don't know the word I'm looking for here.
Legitimate.
It's illegitimate.
Like
but,
you.
I mean, they didn't...
high five!
They literally took the exact same question that Gallup did. So if Gallup's polls count, then shouldn't the Libertarian Action Super PAC's poll count?
Are you asking us?
Yes.
Why?
Well,
you know our answer.
Yeah.
All right.
Our answer is irrelevant.
That's right.
Well,
we're not on the debate commission.
At first, when I read about it, I rolled my eyes, and then I just... And then I, you know,
then
I was
you used
just
your
like,
brain, and then you thought about it. And
well,
you said, that's actually
I read.
Not
I read what
idea.
the you know the point of the poll was, and et cetera. And I don't know. I think it's pretty brilliant. I think that like the rule is 15% in a nationwide poll. Technically, this was 15% in a nationwide poll.
Dude,
I mean, they still had the option for other 25% other. So,
do major news sources still host primary or general election debates? Like Fox News had the primary debates.
Yeah.
They do.
The first one's CNN, and then, you know, CNN, NBC, Fox might have one. It just depends on how many
are agreed to. Why don't we just hound one of those sources to...
That's what's going on with CNN. The Johnson campaign is just having supporters across the nation. The Georgia, Brett Bittner, our friend down in Georgia, he had a protest outside of CNN a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I read that their ratings dropped 20%.
Really?
CNN's ratings have dropped 20% since the primary.
I think they're the lowest they've ever had.
Yeah.
Or the lowest since the 80s or something.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I'm sick of it. Where in the Constitution does it say you only have two choices for president?
It doesn't. I mean, you know, this is the thing that I always argue, is that this is First Amendment stuff. I mean, you as citizens have a right to band together with other citizens and then exercise your free political speech by running candidates. And you have these ballot access laws across the nation that are so restrictive. Places like West Virginia, Oklahoma, you know, it's like 15% in a presidential race for a third-party candidate in Oklahoma to have ballot access. I mean, how does that make sense? In Ohio, they can't even figure out what the ballot access threshold is for the LPO, so they just sue every year and then they get back on the ballot.
Wow.
I mean, so every year, Ohio has to scrounge up the money for a lawsuit. You know, in Kentucky, they have to petition, and they had their first ever statewide candidate for treasurer in Kentucky in the LPKY. And by the time they got enough petitions to get him on the ballot, and he did really well for a first time statewide candidate. It was like 5 or 6%, but he didn't have any money or resources left over for the general election because he had petitioned his way on. You know, here in Indiana, we have ballot access that's, you know, fairly loose. If you're organized, you have to get about 30,000 Hoosiers to vote for your political party in the Secretary of State's race. Now, here's my question. When you have a candidate, if Charlie White had been ruled ineligible to serve as Secretary of State, would the Indiana Republican Party have lost ballot access because they didn't have a candidate in that race in 2010? Well, the answer is no. They passed something in the legislature to make sure that their candidate would have ballot access. But do you think they'd do that for the Libertarian Party of Indiana? There wouldn't be a fix. We'd just lose ballot access for 4 years. You know, and they constantly want to raise the threshold to make it harder for other fourth parties to start, you know, organizing. And I think it should be moved back down to 10,000 at 0.5% where it was in the early 90s, because 10,000 shows that you're an organized political party. You know, if you have 10,000 supporters across the state of Indiana that vote in this race, you're a political party. You know, two people, I guess from a purist libertarian standpoint, you could argue that if you have three people, they should have automatic ballot access because they're an organized political party with three people. But I don't know. It's sort of hard to say, well, if you have four people and you just sign up, then you're a political party and you can have automatic ballot access. You know, there should be some test of organizational strength to have that ballot access, I guess. But I don't know. I may be totally wrong about that, and I may need to rethink my position because it's not pure enough for Creighton. So,
I'd say the pure libertarian would say voting's stupid.
Right. Voting is just enslaving your fellow citizen, and it's an act of violence, and you just shouldn't do it.
I don't care.
All right. You guys aren't going to help me out at all today on talking about stuff, are you?
Well, what do you want from me?
He just gave me like a 10-minute.
I just gave a 10-minute rant on ballot access.
That's fine.
You're like my wife.
I don't know. We get done with that, and everybody just looks at me for what we're talking about next.
Well, you just asked
we
a
figured
question.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. You might have an opinion on the subject,
or a follow up, or something,
or a conversation starter.
Agree with what you
said
it was pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, so
this one may have to. This may be our shortest podcast ever. We may have to
Where
end
are we
this
at?
One. It's like 35 minutes, and it feels like 20 hours.
Well,
feels like we're Tom Berg, and we just set the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest radio show.
We were talking about polling, which is one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Moving on from that, Reddit had a poll, a political poll.
All right, so completely scientific and accurate.
Yeah, it was for the subreddit Libertarians, or Are Libertarian, I guess. I actually found it quite interesting. That's why I'm bringing it up. I know that it's Reddit. It's not like a real poll, but okay. Don't post this episode on Reddit.
What, you don't want the blowback?
But no, it seemed really good. Some of the things I found interesting. Let's see. Do you consider Ron Paul
Cat
a libertarian?
Pictures.
Was one of the questions, and the results were only 13% of people think that Ron Paul is a libertarian, or 13% of libertarians think that Ron Paul is a libertarian.
That's if you consider people who are subscribed to the subreddit libertarian libertarians,
which is a lot. 21% said no, and 42% said yes, but he's made some poor decisions that have non-libertarian views.
Like what would be an example?
I'm not sure. This is a poll. It wasn't. another question was, how well do you think Gary Johnson will do in the general election? You had 46% of people said he would get around 5%. 32% of people said he'd get between 5 and 10. 3 people said he would win. All right, I thought it was funny. feel free to jump in and comment on any of these, you guys.
I'm listening.
You need to read them with more pizzazz, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm falling asleep over
All
here.
Right. If the general election were held tomorrow between Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, and Gary Johnson, who would you vote for? Well, obviously, we're probably going to have a little bias here because we're in the libertarian subreddit, but 74% would vote for Johnson, and 6% would write in Ron Paul. 13% won't.
Well, that's
vote.
Not bias. That's just stupid if you're writing in Ron
I don't
Paul.
Know. They took a straw poll at a.
And that's not bias because I'm the Libertarian Party executive director. You're an idiot if you write in Ron Paul in Indiana. Your vote will be thrown out and it will not count, and no one will see that you wrote in Ron Paul. It makes you an idiot.
We had a presidential straw poll at the Students for Liberty conference with 1,000 students, and Ron Paul got like 84%.
But he's not running anymore.
He was then, though.
Oh, okay.
He was right. Then.
Well, that makes sense.
I feel like there's going to be something happens in Tampa.
No, there's not.
No. I'm not saying
this
I'm not,
guy.
No, I'm not saying.
Yeah,
no, no, no. You're not. I'm not saying that he's going to win.
Oh,
in Tampa.
You're cute.
I'm saying that I think that the campaign is going to do something. I feel like if they weren't going to do anything, they wouldn't be fighting with all these Maryland delegates or Maine delegates and stuff. They're still putting up a fight over this crap, so I feel like they're going to do something. It may not be, like, super awesome, but it's going to be something.
So what was sort of the prevailing wisdom of the Paul campaign out at the YL convention? Like, what was sort of the thought, I mean, is everybody sort of still delusional thinking that he's going to get the nomination?
No.
Or or are they looking, what are they looking for Ron Paul to do now? What's sort of the thought about Ron Paul and his campaign
mostly,
out there?
Mostly what they talk about with Ron Paul is him kind of, is basically the whole theme was passed on the torch to who's going to do next. Justin Amash spoke, and he's considered be like one of the front runners of the next Ron Paul.
Right.
Was Rand Paul up there talking about Mitt Romney?
No, and no one asked him about it either.
Oh,
I was expecting someone to ask him. Man.
That's like inviting someone over for dinner and then asking them about their boil on their face.
No.
Hi, I'm Bud Melanoma.
There is that.
I mean, you might have gotten an honest answer out of him there, though. That's why I figured somebody would ask him.
No, there is that argument within. But y'all, you remember, I don't know.
Many
of the people there are kind of like Rand Paul. They're okay because they're. Because one of the things that Young Americans for Liberty, they have this this Mike Rothfeld, who is crazy awesome,
okay.
But he gives this talk all the time, and he's one of those people that basically talks about always playing hardball. It's like, if you don't like the Republican, you can vote Democrat. Go ahead. Not because you like the Democrat better, but because you take a vote away from that stupid Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of those guys. The prevailing consensus was, it's like, it's still always, you know, it's one thing to vote bad. It's another to say you support a candidate for a party.
Right.
And that's how a lot of them feel. I'm not going to speak for all of them, but that's what it felt like a lot of them felt, is kind of that whole thing.
God forbid you try to speak for all libertarians. You will get in so much trouble, trust me.
But, I mean,
I was telling you about that last night. What is that?
But as far as like what Ron Paul's campaign, I mean, there were comments about how, oh, you don't like how Jesse Benton ran it. Well, why don't you go out there and do it then? You know? That kind of thing.
Right. Like, why don't you find one of Ron Paul's daughters and marry her, and then you can run the campaign?
No, but it was more or less, you know, the idea, the legacy award and all this kind of stuff. I feel like the general like atmosphere was, yes, we recognize Ron Paul's retiring. We recognize he's not going to be president. So who's going to. Who's going to carry the torch now?
But Ron Paul could still be president.
Aww.
The delegates could take over at the convention.
I just love your youthful enthusiasm.
But
old man speak for, oh, you're a dumbass.
There are no such
bless
thing
his heart.
As absolutes.
Right, bless his heart. He's touched.
But I don't know. It's I think if anyone here hasn't, anyone who actually listens to this hasn't heard of this.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, here's a tip for you.
If you haven't heard of Justin Amash, go to his Facebook page like right now and look him up. He is by far, I mean,
he's great.
He is almost as good as Ron Paul. I mean, he really
he
is.
He explains every vote
he
votes
is
that
the
way
most
on
transparent
every bill, even on like bills that are tiny.
He is the most transparent one.
That way
yeah,
on his
he posts on, and it's funny. He made a joke about that. He says when he votes a certain way on and he posts it on Facebook. He kind of fell behind the other day. He didn't get about a week's worth of votes explanations posted, and he got calls from other congressmen saying, "Man, when are you going to post these things on Facebook? I need a reason to explain to my constituents
oh,
why
awesome.
I voted this way."
So let me ask you this, because it sort of sounds like we're searching for the next cult of personality. Do you think that the libertarian movement needs a, you know, the Republicans especially, probably more than the Democrats, but the Republicans and Democrats sort of thrive on a cult of personality. You've got Barack Obama, you've got Sarah Palin, you've got you know, Rick Santorum, and we need these figures. And there's a working theory in politics that state and county parties and they're a thing of the past, that basically we're just going to have PACs and candidate committees, and that you won't have state committees, you know, they'll only do ballot access because politics is so personality driven these days. And it's hard for me to go out and fundraise for the Libertarian Party of Indiana and explain what I do and how we do it and why we do it when it's sort of an abstract idea. It's much easier for Rupert to go out and sell his ideas and sell T-shirts because he's a personality. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
do you feel like there's a shift from libertarians have always been all about the philosophy and they have sort of fought that cult of personality and if anybody gets too big for their britches, then we're going to knock them down? Does it feel like the libertarians in our generation are sort of moving towards like we need a Justin Amash to motivate us to get involved?
I don't think there's anything wrong with having a face. I mean, and I would disagree.
That's what that monkey lady said.
Whatever. I would disagree that libertarians have been away from the face, having a face for their philosophy. I would just say the face has always been dead people like John Locke or Thomas Jefferson. The face has never been a living person.
Right.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, if the guy is like, oh, well, now I'm libertarianism and what I say goes, yeah, obviously you'd be like, okay, this dude's a douche. But but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with kind of coalescing around a person who has good ideas and who can sell things well. I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, Ron Paul, I mean, he wasn't loved because he was – you know, he had a great haircut and he could speak well. I mean, he was loved because of his honesty and his obvious conviction for what he believed in.
I thought it was because of his body. Oh. Well, meow.
Hey, someone at the
I got into him because I ride bicycles.
Yeah, I met Amash at the SFL convention. I was with you, and someone there asked him what he thought about the Libertarian Party and if there was a future for it, and he kind of brushed off the question and, you know, just said that he was a Republican and that's where he was going to be. But
good for him because he could have been
not to bring his back, but one of the questions in the Reddit poll was do you see the Liberty where do you see the most success for the Liberty movement, in a third party with the Libertarian Party or with the GOP? And the vote was literally split even, 50-50.
Right.
So, I mean, I see this split all the time on Facebook and just talking to people, and it's...
Right, and it probably comes more from people who want to be Republicans than people who want to be Libertarians, right?
Yeah.
Just to shove that hot coal in there.
Well, I don't know if that's the reason. I see it as they want to win, and there's not...
Yeah, but that's an asinine notion, and let me tell you why. Because... The libertarians averages, okay? I've been here 4 years. In 2008, we ran almost no candidates because we didn't have an executive director until 2 weeks before the 08 election, i.e. me, all right? And we averaged 2%. Okay, that's not very good. 2 years later, we run a lot more candidates. We have a lot more activity. We have a lot more people going out and knocking on doors. We average 5%.
How much is that as a result of organization, or is it also because of the Ron Paul movement?
It is a combination of several factors, okay? And then in this election cycle, we're starting to see poll numbers for libertarian candidates between 8 and 12%, okay? It's a combination of hard work at the grassroots level, taking advantage of natural opportunities. And it's also a byproduct of the national conversation is moving towards acceptance and want of a third party, and people like Ron Paul presenting different ideas, people like Gary Johnson going out and promoting the Libertarian Party on national TV every day, and then having an organization on the ground in Indiana especially that can take advantage of those opportunities.
Right. I'm not saying that Libertarian Party can't win elections.
No, because they can. I'm just saying that it's folly to say that there's only going to ever be two choices.
Right. But when I say they see that you can win in the GOP, it's because – do you think Justin Amash won because a bunch of libertarians voted for him?
Right.
No, he had an R next to his name, and all the Republicans went into the booth and checked his R.
Right.
They didn't even know anything about it.
Because they assumed that he was a Christian conservative.
No.
I
went door to door for Justin Amash, and we actually walked up to a door, and this lady came out, and we were just canvassing. We weren't trying to convince. We were just seeing how they were going to vote. And she said, I asked, are you going to vote for Justin Amash, blah, blah, blah. And she said, no, I'm a conservative, but he's too conservative for me. So they actually, in that place, yes, one does not make a sample, but...
Right.
I mean, you've got Justin Amash, and you've got Jeff Flake, and you've got Ron and Rand Paul. And you've got several conservatives.
There's what's-his-face out in I think, is that California? Is that Jeff Flake?
Flake's in Arizona.
There's some Mike Lee
right
in Utah, Tom McClintock in California.
Yeah, but those guys are conservatives. Those guys are not libertarians. A guy like Mike Lee and Jim DeMint are very libertarian friendly, but they're still social conservatives.
Tea Party people.
We have to draw a distinction between what is conservative and what is libertarian. There's a lot of natural agreements, but on things like foreign policy and domestic issues, there's differences.
But you don't see a place for those kinds of people in the Libertarian Party?
I do. I'm saying that there is a place for both. I'm saying that there are going to be people who will say, well, we only need to run as Republicans. What happens is when you run as a Republican, you are quiet about what you truly believe. You kind of keep it quiet. If you're running on a local race, you don't. I'm not going to talk about.
You're right.
I'm a Ron Paul Republican because I don't want the chairman to find out. Then I can't be a delegate. Yep. And how are you promoting the libertarian movement if you're not talking about how you're a libertarian?
Yep. I've worked on a congressional campaign in North Carolina, and we had some banned words in the office. We couldn't say Ron Paul.
Right.
We couldn't say libertarian.
But there's the messaging thing.
And yes,
it's not right because. Oh, I believe I have to hold my beliefs in the closet and I can't tell it because then I won't be considered as legitimate and all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's like we are the ones that have to do all the fighting. It's one thing to go down fighting and say, at least I was open about my beliefs. And when everything falls, like, I did this.
Right, but they're not closed up about their beliefs because of voters. They're closed up about their beliefs because of GOP leadership.
But that's exactly what I understand.
The campaign I was on didn't want to lose support from the party.
Did that person win the primary, by the way?
He won the primary twice.
Who is the winner in a situation where a person who has beliefs that has libertarian beliefs and supports Ron Paul keeps their mouth shut about it and goes and becomes a candidate and legislates that way, or the party who made him keep his mouth shut about it and then has a candidate who legislates like a libertarian? Who is the winner in that situation?
Well, it's like the same. You can take that same principle then and say, well, Rand Paul's a winner because he endorsed Mitt Romney, but even though he still votes libertarian. What you do in the public, what you do as open like that, what you say and how you act, that reflects onto people.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that.
Do you know how much that fractured the whole liberty movement when Rand Paul endorsed Mitt Romney?
Right.
I've seen people leave
the Libertarian Party because they said, well, Rand Paul endorsed Mitt Romney, so I can be a Republican and I can vote for Mitt Romney.
You just said in that poll that there was a split half and half. I think all it showed was that those who were like that to begin with are like, well, at least Rand Paul showed that I was right from the beginning. I think that you guys disagree with me on this, but I'm not going to throw Rand Paul under the bus because he endorsed somebody I don't like. I mean, 90% of the people in Washington I don't like, and if they work with him, if I was pure, I could say, well, he worked with this guy, and that's not good because that guy's terrible. Ron Paul, I shouldn't even, if I'm going to be a purist, I shouldn't even support Ron Paul because I disagree with him on some stuff. But the fact that he did a political tactic of endorsing somebody doesn't mean that he's going to be part of the Leviathan. I think it's impractical to say that using these political tactics and playing political games are stupid because we could just be using all this energy to promote the Libertarian Party.
I don't think that's practical. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, Rand Paul and all these guys should be shamed for not being Libertarian Party members and all that. I get it. I get the functional side of politics. And guys like Justin Amash do not hide what they truly believe. Ron Paul never hid what he believed. There are Republicans who hated him in his district, but he still got reelected. Some pork helped out with that. But, you know, and that's part of the practical side of politics. There's always the line. Politics, like I've said before, is a constant test of your integrity. For myself personally, I don't feel like sucking up to the GOP structure and wasting a tremendous amount of time not talking about what I truly believe. I personally would rather go out and have, you know, the LPIN has a state fair booth for the next 17 days. We'll be in front of 800,000 people that visit the state fair. You know, potentially tens of thousands of people will see the libertarian message and talk to our candidates, and we will be on the general election ballot. We didn't lose in the primary. We aren't hiding what we truly believe. And so that's just as valuable as a person who is a legislator. There are, you know, and that's where I get sick and tired of people who say, well, you should only be a Republican because then you can win. It's like, well, how many of your people won the primary? And the answer is like almost none. You guys win as many primaries and congressional races as we win in the general election. You know, so give me a break. Everybody's efforts are valuable. And, you know, right now, those people who lost the primary are sitting at home watching the Olympics, and Libertarian Party candidates are out campaigning for the Libertarian message at the state fair. That's the difference. You know,
but,
so
yes,
I'm not
but
saying
at the same time, we're in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Indiana's very different than Kentucky. It's very different than Utah. As far as Libertarian Party goes, I mean, we have a strong Libertarian Party here, so I can get. I can say,
right.
Well, my opinion is, do what works. It's like what you're doing going to in the end affect change for the better? And if
right.
it's not, then you're doing it wrong. And in Indiana, that could be part of the Libertarian Party because we have a strong Libertarian Party. In Kentucky, that may not be the case.
And
nationally,
places,
it's definitely not the
in
case.
In places like Wyoming and South Dakota, there's 3 Libertarians, and that's not a joke. In South Carolina, there's 10 Libertarian Party members. So in some, you know, I can see that argument. You know, and it just rubs me the wrong way when people just dismiss the efforts of other people.
And I'm not trying to dismiss the efforts
of
the Libertarian Party. I'm just saying that when we dismiss the efforts of Rand Paul, because we don't know if he's just doing this because he sold out or if he's doing it because he's doing what politicians do and playing stupid games to get his message across.
But
most of the time, the message is a terrible one. Big grow the government, more war, more debt, more liabilities, more taxes. That's usually the message. But at the same time, the message could be better using the same tactics. And we're mad that Rand Paul is doing politics as usual. It's like, well, politics as usual grew the government so well. Why can't politics as usual shrink the government if people with the right message or the right principles are using those tactics, and we're throwing the guy under the bus because he endorsed a person. I mean, and it kind of rubs me, it gets underneath my skin because, I mean, we're so ready to be, he's not pure enough, therefore he shouldn't be a voice of us, when all we can do in most states is libertarians to sit around and be like, I'm a libertarian, woohoo. Sweet.
All right. So I am not throwing Rand Paul under the bus.
But you may not
at all.
Be. But you
started
but
it.
You cannot tell me that half of the people who supported Ron Paul were. I mean, just go to look at Robert Wenzel. I read Robert Wenzel's blog all the time. He's in a libertarian. He writes for Economic Policy Journal. He is one of the ones that's like now. Every time he posts about Rand Paul, it's more proof, quote, that Rand Paul is a terrible, terrible libertarian, and that he is a disguised neocon and all this kind of stuff. There are those libertarians out there that
sure.
saw Rand Paul endorsement.
There are libertarians
and there's
out
a
there
large
that think
portion of them
that you know we're run by lizard people. I mean,
no, that's not
I mean,
a large
there
portion.
Are,
there, that's there.
There is not a large portion of people that think that Rand Paul is less of a libertarian.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
I think that he is more apt to do things that are politically expedient, and I don't look at it and say I'm not willing to throw him out with the baby with the bathwater, because I'm just not one of those people who, you know, you commit one little action that I disagree with and I'm going to throw you out. I do find it to be a troubling thing that he would endorse somebody who's so far from the values that he and we hold. But at the same time, I mean, it's not something that you just throw them out.
What the hell was that?
Don't worry about it.
That was perfect timing. Yeah. All right. So my last thing I'm going to say about the whole Rand Paul and practical politics thing is, like, you know, who is the guy in the Senate that was filibustering the NDAA? Who is the guy that was putting fights for the audit the Fed in the Senate? I mean, who is the guy that's been on those issues a strong supporter and been using, you know, a lot of power, been putting a lot of effort into trying to fight for these things, and then, you know, he does one thing that's, you know, for as far as legally speaking, has no effect, and all of a sudden he is the betrayer of the libertarian movement. I think our priorities are a little messed up, and people need to drop the whole purity argument and say, you know, do you want to affect change or not? And if you want to, you might have to say you like people that you really don't like. And if that's what you, if you can't deal with that, then quit crying and go home and start reading books and arguing on the internet, because if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. And we've been arguing on the internet for, you know, a long time now.
This is us arguing on the internet,
yeah.
By the way.
But that, I mean, that's what a lot of libertarians have been doing. And when it was the internet, it was the academic sphere. And I mean,
since you got to say one last thing about Rand Paul, I would like to say one last thing about Rand Paul. I still like Rand Paul. I have no problem with his voting record, which is what I actually, when I brought him up, I said. But I think that there were thousands of Americans that were on the fence about being libertarian, and they were libertarian in general. There were conservatives that were looking at libertarianism because it had started recently becoming popular and being talked about, you know. And I think, and then there were thousands of libertarians that were looking for a direction to go that Ron Paul had lost the presidential election. And when Rand Paul came out, who's supposed to be the next Ron Paul, and he comes out and does something that Ron Paul never did. Ron Paul never endorsed someone that was so far from him.
Yet.
And all of those people were, like, all of those thousands of people on the fence that were thinking about being libertarian are just like, well, second lead man just said, you know, he's with the...
You're saying that people, instead of neocons, endorsing somebody like Gary Johnson, right, to find a more pure form of libertarianism, justified and said, well...
I think if Rand Paul would have stood up for principle in this endorsement, it would have had a way stronger impact than him endorsing
Romney. When it really was kind of unnecessary for him to say anything at all, I think.
Unless he's running for president.
Right.
And
which he'll probably do.
I mean,
in 2016.
But he's not going to win either way. They're not going to let him win.
Who, Rand?
Yeah.
I think that he'd have a better... I think that's why he's doing this crap. Is that
you were about to say he'll have a better chance. And how much chance did Ron Paul have?
I think he would have a chance because he would... He has the ability to unite the Glenn Beck Tea Party crowd and libertarians. Small L libertarians.
Yeah, I mean, how many people have you heard, I don't like Ron Paul, but his son's okay? I mean, how many times have you heard that?
I hear, I like Ron Paul, but... I'm not a huge fan of his son more than
okay.
So
from people who are normal.
Hey, shut up. All right.
I'm just saying that's my point of view.
We've got one time.
We've
got one time for one last topic. What do you fellas want to talk about?
Dark Knight Rises was awesome.
Dark Knight Rises, okay.
No, it was pretty good though.
The Dark Knight Rises was awesome.
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen it?
No. Nope.
It's pretty good.
Didn't see it.
Have you seen the first two?
The first one.
You haven't seen The Dark Knight?
I don't think so.
What is the matter with you?
You haven't seen Heath Ledger's Joker?
Yeah. What? Okay. All right. I saw that in theaters. Okay. I saw that one.
So have you seen Batman Begins?
Yes, I own it.
Oh.
But I don't know if I watched it.
Well, you need to watch them both again before you go see the, or before you rent the new one.
Terrible.
Or go see it at the Dollar Theater.
Amazing, the Man of Steel.
Nothing.
Preview.
My wife wants to go see.
I'm not going to see that.
Oh, my wife wants to go see that.
I'm so over Superman. Like
Superman's like the best comic book character.
Superman's
ever.
A kick your ass.
Superman. What is the matter with you?
I don't know.
Superman is the reason there is a Batman.
I always hated Superman when I was a kid.
Well, you're not American.
Everybody likes Superman, and I'm like, he's boring.
You're not. How is he boring? The dude could take a picture of a nuclear bomb at Ground Zero. That's not boring.
It's like, okay, he has nothing wrong with him except kryptonite. Well, who the hell knew what kryptonite was? Where are you going to find kryptonite?
Lex Luthor found it a lot.
Yeah, I know. Lex Luthor found it a lot, conveniently. Well, and the Spider-Man, don't even get me started on that crap.
I haven't seen the new Spider-Man.
Shoot webs out of his butt, not his hands.
What?
I've never seen a spider shoot things out of his wrists. Come on. Get real, people.
He's Spider-Man.
Right.
Not spider, spider.
You know what? You have convinced me. I am convinced.
So,
the State Fair. If you are out at the State Fair, please come see us in the Libertarian Party booth in the Exposition Hall. That is the first one on the left when you walk in the front gates at the State Fair. You know, Rupert will be out there almost every day. Come say hi. I'll be out there a ton. Even Chris Galt is going to go out there and work one day.
2 days.
2 days.
I'll be there Monday and Wednesday.
Yes, that's right, because on Monday we have an honored guest at the State Fair at the Libertarian Party booth. Tell us about it.
We'll have the vice presidential Libertarian Party candidate there.
Judge Jim Gray.
Yep. He's running with Gary Johnson.
From 1 to 5. From 1 to 5-ish, come on out, see Judge Jim Gray.
Or 1 to 5-ish, you can come out and see Chris Gault.
That's right.
You know what's funny?
Get an autograph from both.
If the stars aligned and Gary Johnson won this election, I'd feel so bad because when we went to D.C. for CPAC, he went to the bar that Young Americans for Liberty was hosting their after party. And we left, me and a couple other ones left early because we were so mad that it cost like $5 for a Dixie cup of beer. So we left early and we went to go buy our own beer. And as we're leaving, Gary Johnson was walking in and he's like, "Hey, where are you guys going?" We're like, "Oh, it's pretty expensive here, so we're going to go." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And then he walked in, and that's the only time I ever met Gary Johnson. That was then.
I met him he was at the state convention, then he was also, I met him out in Vegas. I just happened to wander into the banquet dinner, and I didn't have my ticket on me, so I just kind of sat wherever. So I sat next to Sam Goldstein, the state chair, and then Gary Johnson wanders in, and he's like, "Do I have a table or anything?" I'm like, "I don't think so. Why don't you sit next to us?" And I ended up sitting next to Gary Johnson and his wife at the banquet dinner that night. He was the coolest guy. His wife is really nice, and he's allergic to gluten. By the way.
Well, if we're doing Met Gary Johnson stories, I'll tell mine.
Yeah, come on now.
I met Gary Johnson at CPAC 2 years ago. I actually met him right after the presidential straw poll. I jumped out of the room early because I didn't want to hear all the other crap with somebody else. And right when I walked out, the results, by the way, were Ron Paul won the straw poll. Gary Johnson tied Mitt Romney for second because it counted second choices.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Ron Paul people picked, or a lot of Ron Paul people picked Gary Johnson for their second choice. So he was out there right after the results were announced, and I was there for his happy moment, you know, when he got tied for second for Republican presidential choices at CPAC.
Have a happy moment ruined.
It was
by
cool.
Chris,
I got my
there.
Picture with him. He was very happy.
I
talked to him for a minute, and that was my Gary Johnson story.
I've seen him a few times. I've never seen him cross or grumpy or, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, he just seems to be a real even-keeled, real nice guy. So
yeah, definitely.
I have my sneaking suspicions that Gary Johnson will be here in Indiana and you can meet him soon. So stay tuned for that.
And Jim Lark says hi.
Jim Lark is the man. If you don't know Jim Lark is on the National Libertarian Committee, the LNC, and he is... like, his whole goal of being in the LP is to reach out to college students and spread the libertarian message amongst college students. And he is just the coolest guy. So he always offers anything we need in Indiana with college students. He'll come out, speak, do whatever. He's a good speaker. So, nice guy.
Well, this was
mediocre.
This week's episode of We Are Libertarians.
This was average at best, maybe a little below, D+. C-. What grade would you give this podcast?
I don't know.
The podcast or the episode?
This episode.
I think we should do this. I think we should do this one pass-fail.
I give it a B+, A-.
I'd say pass-fail. We passed.
Overall, the podcast on a whole, I would go with a solid C.
Go with a solid A.
Yeah.
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 We're pretty good.
I'd give...
We are terrible at this.
We're not that bad.
Listen to the end
go
of
on
this.
To, no. Go on to blog. Yeah.
You guys think this is bad. Go listen to our first episode.
Go to Blog Talk Radio, dude. Talk Radio. We don't have in content and opinions, we make up for in sound quality.
By the way.
No, because 90% of our episode is this. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, we should give a shout out.
That's why we don't charge for this.
We should give a shout out to our new friends at rivertownradio.com.
Yes, I know. How could we forget this? Rivertownradio.com sent us a note, and this is, and I forget the name of the town in South Carolina.
Is it Rivertown?
It's not Rivertown.
but it's a town. It's a great little community internet radio station in South Carolina, and they listened to the podcast, and they asked us to join their radio network. So we are now on Rivertown Radio.
Yep.
And you can hear us all kinds of places. Rivertownradio.com. You can hear us at
iTunes. LPIN.
Stitcher. You can go on the Stitcher app, which is a podcast app.
Okay.
You can put it into, you can get the feed off of podcast.lpin.org and listen all kinds of different ways.
Why don't we submit this to WIBC?
Google Plus.
WIBC would laugh so hard.
Really?
They have this dude on like Sundays at like 6. He's just awful.
It's because he pays like $800 a week to have his show on there.
Does he?
It's called Tradio.
Anyway.
So if we come up with $500 a week, we could be on the air.
Hey, what's
a donor opportunity?
What's that? What's that website?
Where we are willing to be bought.
Yeah, we should start a
shipping Kickstarter. So
Kickstarter.
Yeah, if there's anybody who would like to buy the three of us, we are available.
We are for sale.
If you would like to not, if you live in Indiana. Or if you don't live in Indiana and you would like to help us go on a radio station that you won't be able to hear, please go to Chip In.
You
give us some money.
We'll go totally Rand Paul. We will sell out hardcore.
I lost my train of thought.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well,
are we wrapping up?
Yeah.
Let's play a song.
I don't have the music cue. Can you do it for us?
Are you serious?
Yep.
My baloney has a first name. It's
all right. Thank you for joining us this week on We Are Libertarians. We promise we'll do better next time. Have a nice day. Just do that. I'll host, and then you can just do the opening theme music. All right. Ready?
Yep.
What was that?
Yeah, you're going to have to restart that one.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It just like exploded.
Oh, God.
That was quite...
I don't think people realize there's an Easter egg on the end of this either. Someone was like, what was that Chick-fil-A song you played at the end? I was like,
I accidentally left my iPod on. There was something weird at the end.
Tim one time texted me. He's like, you know, we can hear you. You leave the mics up after the podcast is on. All right, here we go. This podcast is produced by What is a Hoosier Productions.